Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we begin the new perek, the seventh perek of Bechoros, we see the Mishnah, but before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin on the upper part of Daf Mem Gimel. Under the Nosei heading in our Gemara marking system, we have our Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears, the Gemara that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We feature topic headings and structural notes, topic headings called Nosei, and structural notes called Mivneh, when necessary. In this case, our topic heading, the Nosei, reads, Mumim Udvorim Hapoislim Ba'odam. And when we say Ba'odam, we mean the Kahuna. We will make reference to mumim, blemishes. There is another realm called things that render someone unfit for serving as a kohen. There happens to be a third category that we will see in the Mishnayos, and that is something that's called a psul mishum maris ayin. There are three categories, then, of things that render a person, and when we say a person, we're talking specifically about a Kohen, as being unfit for serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Exactly what type of legal differences there are between someone that's classified as a Baal Mum versus someone that's classified as a Psul of what's known later in the Gemara as Eino Shava Bizarro Shel Aaron. That was something that will be discussed in the course of our limud. The Mishnah. Mumim Elu. The mumin that were referred to in our previous perek that dealt with the mumin associated with a firstborn male animal. Bein kvuin, bein oivrim. Whether they be of a permanent, kvuin is permanent, or temporary nature. Poislin the Odom. They would render Odom, a man, a Kohen, unfit for serving in the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of a transitory mum, a temporary mum, this would render him unfit as long as he is experiencing that blemish. Yoiser Aleim Ba'odom. There are additional features or situations by a person, and they are called Hakilon, Valafton, Vamakvon, Vesherosh Shokut, or Shokua, Uskifas. These are things that we don't call Mumin, but we say they are Posel Likahuna. Ubale Chachos, or we should point out, of course, that the Gemara will explain each one of these items, or phenomena. We will wait for the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, Ubale Hachatotros, Rebuta Machshir, Vahom and Poslin. Bale Hachatotros has to do with a hunchback, like a hump that appears on his back. Rashi points out that only with regard to Bale Hachatotros is there this controversy, but regarding the earlier mentioned phenomena, there is agreement that they are posel. So with regard to Baalei Chatros, you see that Rabbi Yehuda is machshir and the Chachamim posel. HaKireach, posel. The Kireach has to do with baldness, but not to jump to any conclusions, the Gemara will define what is meant by that. The Mishnah itself explains, Ezeu Kireach, what is the Kireach referred to? As being posel, kol she'en lo shita shel se'ar makefes me'oizen lo'oizen. He doesn't have a row of hair that surrounds his head from ear to ear. Im yeshlo, harei ze kosher. If he has a row of hair that surrounds his head from ear to ear, he's not called a kereach, that would be posel. In English, you might refer to such a person as bald, but once again, as we see many times in learning the Gemara, we should never restrict ourselves to translations, but rather there are legal categories. And in this case, the term kereach, which translates as bald, is a legal category, rendering someone unfit for the kuna. So we have to define under what circumstances is that the case. So the Mishnah just gave us a certain level of definition. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara will delve into this more extensively. The Gemara opens up with two questions, and they're numbered, as you can see, with 1 and 2. Before going into the Gemara, though, let's take advantage of our nosei, the topic heading in the outside margin. Eich yoidim shehamumim haksuvim b'tura etzel behemo. How are we to know that the blemishes mentioned in the Torah in the context of an animal, specifically in the context of a b'chor, firstborn male animal, shayachim gam b'odam? How do you know that those deficiencies or blemishes have relevance with regard to people as well? People meaning the kahuna. In looking at these two parshios in the Torah, of blemishes by animals and blemishes by people, there are lists of phenomena that appear, and our question right now is, how do you know that those phenomena that appear written in the Torah by a behema apply also to a person? The Gemara. Amai, why are they, the blemishes by a bechor, firstborn male animal, why do they passel by a person? Voiko yabeles, deloksiv boraisa be'odom. Take yabeles, for example. Yabeles was the name of a blemish in the case of animals. It's written in the case of animals, but it's not written in the Torah when the Torah describes blemishes by people. Vesu, a further question. Dak tavlul deloksivi bevehema. Dak and tavlul, which we learned, are blemishes by animals, but the Torah doesn't write dak and tavlul in the case of animals. So why should they render an animal unfit as a bechor? So the compound question is approaching things from two directions. First of all, you've got yabeles, that will passel by a person, but it's not written by a person. You've got dak and tavlu, which passel by a behema, but it's not written in the Torah by a behema. The Gemara answers, Melef yalfi mehadodi. One is learned from the other. Disanya, the following brisa explains, Be'odom lo ne'amar bo yabeles. In the case of people, kehuna, yabeles is not mentioned. Bevehema lo ne'amar dak tavlul. And in the case of animals, dak tavlul are not mentioned. Minayin litenes ha'omur shelzeh bozeh v'sa'omur shelzeh bozeh. From where do I know to apply that which appears by one to the other? Talmud lomar, gorov gorov, yalefes yalefes ligzera shava. In both animal and people, you find gorov and yalefes written. That's a gzera shava. In order for a gzera shava to be tight, so that we shouldn't ask questions, we have to establish that there is something extra. There are extra words that, as far as the Torah is concerned, as far as understanding of halacha, we could have gotten away without having written these words. Why does the Torah then write these extra words? They are there to tell us that the gzera shava, the comparison that we make between the two topics, is resilient to any questions that you might want to raise. That, in one word, is called mufni. And here we have a long point that develops this idea, how we see extra words in the parsha, in these parshas blemishes by people and animals. You'll notice we have a long point marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see an encircled nun with a descending vertical dash line indicating that all of these lines form the point. So the Gemara says, Mufni. The words are available for the Gzera Shava. The Ilo Mufni, if for some reason the words were necessary for the topic at hand and not extra, Ikol Mifrach, there would have been grounds for challenging the comparison between the two topics as follows. Adam mi behema lo yolif, I wouldn't have derived rules of people from stated rules by animals. Shekein hi atzmo kreva legabi mizbeach. In the case of an animal, it has a certain level of seriousness that you don't find by people, in that the animal itself is offered on the altar. So it could be that a higher standard applies to animals than to people. The people, in this case the kahuna, they're only serving in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not the actual sacrifice. Behema me'odom lo yalfa. On the other hand, to derive behemos from people, that I wouldn't do either. Shekeinis rabba b'mitzvahs. A person, he has a lot of mitzvahs. A person is commanded to keep mitzvahs, to keep commandments. And as such, he may very well have a higher standard than a behema. So you see that there's room for asking questions. Haha, so lie, we have to say that lie means in truth. Afnuye mufni. There are extra words here in the Torah, in the parshas of behema and man, animal and man. Lichtov Rachmona, and here the Gemara explains how you see extra words. Lichtov Rachmona Yalefis. Let the Torah state that Yalefis poses a blemish problem. Velo boy Gorov. Once the Torah would say Yalefis is a problem, there would be no need to say Gorov is a problem. Ve'ano amino, and I would have figured on my own. Uma Yalefis delo mi'iso havimumo. Mind you, yalefis, which is a type of dryness on the animal, it's considered a type of blemish we call yalefis, and it's not something that's disgusting, and yet it is classified as a mum. Gorov de mois lo kol shekein, the gorov, which is something that is in fact disgusting, all the more so it would be a blemish. Gorov de kosav rachmono lomali. So why does the Torah bother after writing yalefis? Why does it bother writing gorov in the case of animal and man? Lafduye, extra words to show to enable us to make this gezera shava without worrying about the questions that one may have raised, as we saw above. Rashi here points out the Gorov, which is Mois. Rashi says, Gorov de Mois, mi Yalefis, de Koshe hu kecheres. It's the Gorov is dry like clay, u mishakea v'bosar, and it's sunk into the flesh, v'oysa charitzin, and it creates cracks. So it's something that is, the previous perek, there was greater elaboration on the part of the Gemara in describing these things, but here Rashi emphasizes what the mius aspect of it is, and if that's the case, and after having stated Yalefis as being a problem, so Gorov certainly would be easily categorized as a mum. Why does the Torah bother writing it? So as we said, it's to enable us to make the Gzeira Shovel without worrying about any challenging questions. As we go on in the Gemara, we see triangles that appear here and a little bit later. On the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature the triangle. And we also have an indication that this is a Ma'akah, because as you look on in the Gemara, you'll notice the triangles appear in two different directions. So with the point facing up, they represent She'elois Be'inyan Mikum Ksivas Hamumim. Questions regarding the location in the Torah where the Mumin are written. And it's a little bit vague right now, but the Gemara will be asking questions concerning why they were stated where they are stated. And with the triangle flipping over, this represents Tshuva's answers. So now the Gemara. V'lichtevinu rachmona kulu b'chad. Let the Torah write all of the Mumin, the list of Mumin, in one of the two topics. We have here Kohanim and animals as sacrifices or as firstborns. The Gerev v'Yalefes, the Gorov v'Yalefes, Hocha v'Hocha, and Gorov and Yalefes write those in both places. The Lilfu mehadodi, and all of that being in place, we can then learn one topic from the other. So the question then is, why does the Torah bother writing the list of Mumin in both places with obvious repetition? The Torah could have just written list in one place, and then the linking expressions, Gorov and Yalefes, in both topics, and that would be the sign to learn one from the other. The Gemara answers. This is a long answer. You'll notice we have a tuff with an inverted triangle surrounding it, and a descending vertical dashed line. The tuff represents a teretz, and the descending vertical dashed line shows us how long we will spend on this answer. So the Gemara says, if you're suggesting me to write all of the Mumin in one location, then expect me to learn one from the other. So we ask, well, ahei lichtov rachmona, in which topic should the Torah have written the list? E kosav ba'odam, had the Torah written the list by kahuna, have amino, I would have thought, kol de posel ba'odam, posel b'vehema. Those things that are problems for human beings will represent a problem for a behema as well. Kolot v'chutin de lesnehu ba'odam, the issue of kolot, which has to do with a closed hoof, chutin has to do with teeth problems that are not problems by people. So the issue closed hoof is not something that's shaykh by a person, and teeth issues are not problematic by people with regard to mumin. So kolot and chutin, which aren't by people, b'vehema nami lo lifsalu. So they, if you have an animal born that's kolot or with problems in the chutin, it wouldn't be a problem. So that if you wrote all of the mumin by people, I wouldn't know anything about kolot and chutin. After all, by people, the Torah wouldn't have written anything about kolot and chutin. The e kosav rachmona kulu b'vehema, and had the Torah written the list of mumin by animals, I would have figured, called a posel b'vehema, posel b'adam. Anything that renders a behema unfit would render a person unfit to serve as a kohen. Gibein v'chorum d'lesnu behema. These mumin, gibein has to do with eyebrow issues, and chorum has to do with a nose issues, which are non-issues by a behema. They don't come up with regard to a behema. So, ba'odom nami lo lifsalu. So a gibein or a chorum wouldn't be a problem by a person. The Gemara continues with another question. V'lichtevinu rachmona kulu b'chad. Let the Torah write the common mumin, the common blemishes to person and animal, in just one of the areas, in either person or animal. V'hanoch de lesnu b'adam, those that are not relevant to a person, lichtav rachmona b'vehema. We mentioned before the issue of the kolot and the chutin, which are not human oriented. So write those by the behema. V'hanoch de lesnu b'vehema, those that are not relevant by the behema. We mentioned the issue of the gibein and the chorum, lichtav b'adam. State those by the person. The Gorov v'Yalefes, Hocha v'Hocha, and Gorov and Yalefes, which would be our linking expressions, write them in both places. The Lufi Mehadodi, and learn those blemishes that in fact overlap. Learn one topic from the other after having stated the overlapping blemishes in just one of the topics. Why is it necessary to write, for example, Iver, Pisach, and Shavur, which are examples of Mumin, the blindness, the lame, the broken bone, Why is it necessary to write them in both cases, both man and animal? The Gemara answers, if what's bothering us right now happens to be the issue of repetition, let that not bother us. Elo, the answer is Ketana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. In accordance with the source taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the following source appears. Kol Parsha Shenemra V'Nishneis. Any time you have a topic that's stated and then seemingly repeated, Lo Nishneis Elo B'Shvil Dovar Shenishadesh Ba. The repetition is stated in alongside that which is of a chidush, of a unique nature. So that as long as you have elements of uniqueness in the case of Adam and Behemoth, it justifies having the repetition written alongside as well. And as far as Dover Shin is Chadish Ba, there is in fact that is the case by the person, the chidush, the novelty or the unique factor by Adam, what we say was the Gibein and the Chorum. By the Behemoth, there is the unique Kolot and Chutin problem. So as a result of these uniqueness elements by Adam and Behemoth, that gives license for, in fact, writing Iver Pisach and Shavur as well, even though that would technically speaking, it would have been sufficient to write them in one of the topics. Nevertheless, because of this teaching of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we justify their being repeated in both topics. Omar Rava, Lomali, the cause of Rachmona, Mum Ba'adam, Mum Bekotchim, Mum Bevachor. Why does the Torah tell us that blemishes passel? Now, we're not asking here about specific blemishes, but we're asking about the concept of blemish being a factor of ruination. Why does the Torah have to teach me that blemishes ruin by kahuna, ruin by sacrifices, and ruin by firstborn male animals? On the outside margin under our No Say heading, we're introducing the Gemara as follows. Lama yotzorach l'Torah lichtov shemumin posel. Shemumin poselin bevachor, ba'odom, ubekotshim. Tichtov be'echod, ve'elmav hashar mimenu. Let the Torah write that mumin posel, in the case of one of these three topics, and I'll derive the other two from that. Once I know, let us say, that mumin posel by Bechor, I should be able to figure out that Mumin will passel by Kochim, by other sacrifices, and by Kahuna. As far as the general structure of the Gemara will answer why, by stating one, I could not figure out the other two. However, there remains a question of why not state this fact that Mumin passel in two of the topics, and let me derive the third from the stating by two. That too the Gemara will deal with as we go on the Amid. And here we go now back into the Gemara. The Gemara answers, and we also have a long answer marking. You can see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara there is we call this a point, because the Gemara answers, the answer is essentially one word, Tzricha. I need to state that Mum passels by Odom, by Kochim, and by Bechor. And now, the development of this answer, which we're calling here a point, and the Gemara goes on, the E Kosav Rachmona Mum Ba'odom, had the Torah written that Mum passels by Kahuna, I would tell you, maybe only there Mum presents a problem. Shekein Nisrabe B'mitzvahs. A person, as opposed to animals, a person has a lot of mitzvahs. Adam mi bechor lo asi, a person could not be derived, that means person, we mean kahuna, could not be derived from bechor. In other words, had the Torah written that mum is a problem by Bechor, so Adam could not be derived from that. Why not? Shekein hu atzmo korev legabi mizbeach. The Bechor itself is offered on the Mizbeach. And being that the animal itself is offered, so that gives it a certain increased level of severity. So by knowing that Mumin Pasel by Bechor, I wouldn't know that Mumin Pasel by Kehuna. A Kohen serves, but he himself is not offered. Kochim mi Bechor lo asi. Had the Torah written that Mum passes by Bechor, I wouldn't have been able to derive other sacrifices. Shekein kedushaso meirechem. Bechor has a certain level of severity in that it gains sanctity at the point that it's born, even without my imposing sanctity on it. That, as such, so maybe only by Bechor would blemish pose a problem. Odom mikodshim lo osi. To derive a person, the kahuna, from kochim, from the fact that mumin pasel, ruined by other sacrifices, lo osi, I wouldn't have been able to derive person, kahuna, being ruined by mumin, shekein hein asmon kraven. When it comes to kochim, there we'll say that mumin pasel, because they themselves, the animals themselves, are offered as actual sacrifices. The odom, the kohen, only serves. Bechor mi kochim lo osi. To derive the mumin will ruin by Bechor from having stated it by general sacrifices, I wouldn't have been able to derive that. Shekein kedushosoi meruba. The sanctity of kochim is more expansive. Now, what we mean by that is that kochim includes all kinds of sacrifices. The Shita Mekubeses points out that kochim is noheg, sacrifices are noheg, whether you're dealing with male or with females. Bechor, though, is limited. So maybe blemishes don't ruin by Bechor. So what we've done in the last several lines in developing this point is that by stating that blemishes passel by one, I wouldn't have been able to derive something else from one. Chado mechado lo asya. Attempting to derive one from one, that does not work. However, tesi chado mitarti, let the Torah state that blemishes ruin in the case of two topics, and the third, let me derive it from the stating of two. Well, mehe tesi. Here, two, the Gemara responds. And we call this as well, you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line that develops this point that it was necessary for the Torah to state that blemish is ruined by all three topics. And to leave me to derive a third from stating just two, that would not have worked. And the Gemara explains, may hey tesi, from which should I have derived the third? Loi lichtev rachmona bevachor. Let the Torah not have stated that mum passels by Bechor, v'teisi mehanoch, and then expect me to derive that mum passels by Bechor from Odom and Kochim. I wouldn't have been able to do that. Ma lahanoch shekein kedushosin merubo v'noyagin bepshutin. In the case of Odom and Kochim, they have greater sanctity than Bechor, and they are applicable whether you're dealing with a firstborn or a non-firstborn pshutim. In other words, a kohen is a kohen whether he's a firstborn or not. Animals are sanctified as sacrifices whether they're firstborn or not. Furthermore, the Odom has kedushas and meruba. He has a lot of mitzvahs. Kochim, Rashi seems to indicate, kochim include many different kinds of korbonas. So, that being said, I wouldn't have been able to derive Bechor from stating Kochim and Kahuna. Loi lichtev bekochim. Let the Torah not have written that mum passels by general sacrifices, v'teisei mehanoch, and let me derive that point from stating Bechor and Odom. Ma lahanoch, that I wouldn't have been able to derive Kochim either. Shekein kedushoson me'alehen. By Bechor and Odom, they get their sanctity without my imposing sanctity on them. In the case of a person, he's born as a Kohen. In the case of a firstborn male animal, he's born as a Bechor with its sanctity. That gives them, let's say, a higher standard, and therefore maybe only by them would Mum present a problem, and not by general kochim, general sacrifices. By case of general sacrifices, I have to impose the sanctity on them. Well, let's continue. Loi lichtoi ba'adam, let me not write that mum impossible by adam, but tesi ma'aloch, and let me derive adam from bechor and kochim. Well, to that we say, ma'alahanoch, in the case of bechor and kochim, shekein hein asmon preven al gabi mizbeach. They are offered themselves as sacrifices on the altar, so maybe they are affected by blemishes and not people, not koyhanim. Hilkoch tzrichi. Therefore, it's necessary to teach the fact that a mum, a blemish, ruins by all three topics, not leaving me to derive one from any of the others. Yeser aleihem odom. Our Mishnah said that beyond the realm of Mumin, people meaning the Kuna, has additional things that will prevent him from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under our notes, say heading, and we've written, V'noisef l'mum, in addition to the issue of blemishes, yesh oid psul b'adam, there's an additional problem that arises that render a kohen unfit, v'hainu, and that is known as dobor shenu shove bizarro shel kohen, something that makes a person look unlike the others, something that makes him look unusual. He's not shove, not equal to the rest. Meno hani mili. From where do we know that there is this concept of something that's not a blemish, not classified as a mum, but renders him unfit all the same? All the same meaning, just like a mum renders him unfit, so to these phenomena that we saw in the Mishnah. We saw all kinds of things, like kilon, lifton, makvon, rosh hashokud, skifas, etc. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, if you're asking, from where do I know this? The Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Kol Isha Sheboi Mum Mizera Aharoin. Ish Sheshove Bezaroi Shel Aharoin. Rashi here is essential. Rashi at the bottom says, Ish Hashove Bezaroi Shel Aharoin, Hu Deboi Mumo. Someone who looks like everyone else, in order for him to be rendered unfit, he would need to have a mum, something that's an official blemish. Ha'ein shove bizarro shel Aharon, someone who doesn't look like the rest. Below mumo nami mifsal, even without a mum, he can be rendered unfit. So there is an allusion in this pasuk to something called a mum, and something else. That something else is hinted to in this pasuk, and that's brought out by Rashi. The Gemara now deals with what we mentioned earlier in our general introduction, that there are different categories of things that render a person unfit. What are the practical differences between these categories? We introduce this piece of Gemara with diamonds, and on the outside margin we've written Nosei Mivneh. My Iko Bain, and those are the expressions you find in the diamonds, what is the difference between She'enoi Shove Bezaro Shel Aron Lemum and Lemaris Ayin? There are, as we said, three categories. We most recently mentioned something called Dover Sheno Shove Bezaro Shel Aron, something that makes a person look odd or different. What's the difference between that category and a mum? What's the difference between that category and a problem called Maris Ayin? The term Maris Ayin will appear in upcoming Mishnayos. For example, the Mishnah at the end of this Amid, three lines up from the bottom, you can see the expression Shoshu Mishrei Vishinoshu Risa Einov Posul Mipnei Maris Ho'ayin. This concept, literally, Maris Ayin means something that looks, that draws your attention, or that looks different, looks strange. but it's a different category. We're dealing here with halachic categories. Even though one could say, if one is extremely superficial, one says, well, doesn't a mum also make someone look unusual? And Einu Shove Bezara Shel Aaron is also someone that's unusual. So, of course, they're all different and unusual. However, we're dealing with halachic categories, something called mum, something called Einu Shove Bezara Shel Aaron, and something called Maris Ayin. What we have to do now is point out what is the difference between these categories. So the Gemara at the top, Ma'iko Bein Muma L'She'eno Shove Bezara Shel Aaron. What is the difference between these? Iko Binayu Mishum Achule Avoda. Something called ruination of the service done in the Beis HaMikdash. Is the service done by a Kohen that has one of these problems? Is the Korban considered ruined? Mumo mochil avoda. Someone, a Kohen, who experiences a mum, that type of Kohen will ruin the sacrifice that he's working on. Dechtiv mum boy v'lo yechaleel. If he is to avoid having a mum, because if he does have a mum, so then he will be mechaleel. She'eno shove bezaro shel aron lo mochil avoda. Someone who's classified as an Eino Shove Bezara Shel Aaron, if he does do the Avoda, even though he is in violation of a positive command, he nevertheless doesn't ruin the Avoda that he is working on. Mai Iko Bein She'eino Shove Bezara Shel Aaron Umishum Maris Ho'ayin. Before going further, by the way, Rashi on the second line from the top defines more carefully than we said earlier, Mishum Maris Ho'ayin, Kol Hanoch de Kachoshe B'Masnis Mishum Maris Ho'ayin, all those that are mentioned in the Mishnayos that are unfit because of this category, Shemeusin Lirois, they are people that are unpleasant to look at, Kigon Shenoshu Rishi Einov Shenot Lushinov, someone whose eyelashes have fallen out, or his teeth have fallen out. So these are two categories. What is the difference between Eino Shove Bezara Shel Aaron and Maris Ayin? Iko Binayu Asei. The point of difference is the violation of a positive command. Someone who is serving in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he is an Eino Shove Bezara Shel Aaron, the Torah says someone who is Shove is to do Avoda. We imply someone who is not should not do avoda. This is called a lav habo michlal asei, a negative that's derived from a positive. The positive being someone who is shaveh bezara shel, someone who is looks like the others should do avoda. The inference, someone who is not should not. That's a negative derived from a positive, and that's classified as a positive command. So he is in violation of this positive command. Someone who serves as having something that we call Maris Ayin, he is not in violation of a positive command. At this point, the Gemara describes the different Mumin that were mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara now mentions Kilon. What is the problem known as Kilon? This was mentioned on the third line of the Mishnah at the beginning. It would, of course, be greater to our greater advantage had we had illustrations of these phenomena, but we'll try to work along with the Rashi, exercise a little imagination, and try to make some sense of what we're about to see. So, Kilon, Rashi, the Gemara says, Dedomi Reishe Lo'ochla. Rashi lo'ochla l'kisui shel chavis. His head, this person's head, looks like the cover of a barrel. What does the cover of a barrel look like? Shechad milamalo v'rochav milamato. It comes to a point at the top and wide at the bottom. So a person whose head is very narrow at the top and widens at the bottom, that's called a kilon, and that's a problem of Einoi Shove Bezara Shel Aaron. The Mishnah mentioned the lifton, so lifta, the domi reshe le gal gilido the lifta. His head has the shape of a galgalida lifta is the roish halefes. Lefes is a type of vegetable. So Rashi explains the shape of this vegetable called lefes, she roish rochov vahileches v'kolo lamata. It's the opposite situation of the kilon. Here the head is wide at the top, and his head tapers to something very narrow at the bottom. Tana, v'tzavoro omeid be'emtza rosho. This is an additional explanation, it seems, of the lifton. His neck is positioned in the middle of his head. In other words, the amount of head that bulges out from behind is the same as the amount of head or of face that protrudes frontwards. And that is unusual. Generally speaking, a person's neck is positioned in such a way that that the back of his head doesn't bulge out nearly as much as a person's jaw and front protrudes beyond his neck. The next category, or the next problem of Eino Shovu Zarshan, is the makvon. What is that? Dedomi reshe lemakvon. Rashi, lemakvo lekardoim. A kardom is a hatchet. She orpoi agoil v'kotzar v'roichav. The orpo is the back of his head is rounded, and kotzar v'roichav is narrow in terms of width. The Gemara continues. V'sheroishay shokut milafonov. Rashi explains shokut milafonov. Sheroishay meshupa milafonov balachson. His head on the front of the front of his head slopes downwards on a diagonal. Kein kli shel nagor shekoren bashgug. The carpenter has a vessel called in French bashgug that has this particular shape. So it's where the front of the head slopes downwards in a sloping fashion. The next uskifas. Mishnah had mentioned this as a problem. Skifas, that's me'achorov, where the head in the upper part of his head is missing. It seems to be missing something. In other words, he's born that way, but it gives that appearance. And the Gemara says, kid'amri inshi, as people say, shokil pisa, a piece. Like in English, you have the word piece. So here you have the same word in Aramaic. So a piece of his head appears to be missing. And this is in terms of the back of the head. That's the skifas. Tana v'tzavoro shokut v'shomut. This is a person whose neck is sunken in, so to speak, between his shoulders. The Gemara itself explains this brisa. Shokut is dechavio michba. Chavio has to do with something that's hidden. In this case, we're saying that his neck is sunken between his shoulders. Shomut, the orich v'shomut. For this, we look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, and he explains v'shomut, the orich tzavoro. His neck is long, v'dak and thin, u'boleit partsufo harbei lachutz. And as a result of his very thin neck, so his face seems to protrude very far outwards from the thin neck. Continuing in the Gemara, Ubale Chatros, Rabbi Yehuda v'chulei. Now, regarding this issue of the hump, there are things that everyone agrees with, and there is that which is the controversy that we saw in the Mishnah. So we note with an aleph, the isbe etzem, a hump with a bone in it, kuli amalo pligi the posla. Everyone will agree that that renders the individual unfit. Ki pligi, we saw a controversy in the Mishnah concerning the Bali Chatrois. Rabbi Yehuda says he's okay. That is concerning a hump with the less bay etzem. There is no bone. More sovar, the Chachamim hold ha eino shava bazar sha'aron. Even though there's no bone, but he doesn't look similar to the rest of the Kehanim. And that's enough to possible to render him unfit. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Yehuda, who was machshir, as we saw in the Mishnah, karkuro de bisro bi'almahu. It's just an extra piece of flesh, and that's not a problem as far as he's concerned. Hakireach posel. Here the Gemara focuses on the issue of the of the baldness. Before going on in the Gemara, we see in the Gemara itself, we see a geometric form, the house form, and we have also written in Roman numerals 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. These are explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, where you see a house form and a Roman numeral 1 and 2. These represent Shnei Lishonos B'Rova B'Indian Kerech, two versions of Rova, two versions of what Rova ever said regarding this topic of Kerech. So, our Mishnah had said Kerech is Posel. Omar Rova Lo Yishanu, this teaching of his being unfit is qualified. Lo shanu elo she'ein loy la'chorov yesh loy lefonov, where he doesn't have a row of hair at all in the back, but he does have a row of hair on the front part of his head. Avol yesh loy la'chorov kosher, if he has in back and in front, he's okay. He's suitable for service. And even all the more so if he has just a row of hair around the back of his head and none in the front. That's the more normal or common looking individual. So according to this approach, Rava says the only problem arises where there is no hair around the back but there is in front. However, if there's hair in both places, and certainly if there is hair just in the back, that's okay. We will now contrast that with that which appears under version number 2. The Iko de Masni Asefa. There are those that have Rava as addressing the Seifa. Well, first we state the Seifa, and you can see in the frame, this is a quote from the Mishnah, V'im Yesh Lo, Hare Ze Kosher. The Mishnah had mentioned that if he has no row of hair, then he's unfit. If he has a row, he's fit. Omar Rava lo shanu elosh yesh lo lachorav v'ein lo lefonav. The concept of a row of hair, that if he has a row, he's okay, that's limited to a row in back. A case, it's limited to the case that he has a row in back and no row of hair in the front. Avol yesh lo bein lachorav v'ein lefonav pasul. If he has a row of hair in front and in back, he's not acceptable. If you contrast this using the arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, compare this dashed underline to that which we have above, you will notice this is a point of difference. Continuing in the Gemara, v'kol shekein, and certainly the following will be puzzled, sheyesh lo lefonav v'ein lo lachorav, where he has no hair in back and only in the front. V'kol shekein ein lo klal the puzzle, and all the more so if he has none whatsoever, nothing in the front and nothing in the back. So as far as nothing in the front and nothing in the back, these two lashonos are the same. As far as having in the front and the back, there is a point, that is a point of difference between these two lashonos. As far as having in the back and nothing in the front, according to both Lashonos, they agree that that's kosher. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading we want to take note of in the outside margin, the Nosei. The Hasbir, the role of this Gemara will be to explain, Lama Yesh Tzorech L'Rabbi Yochanan L'Lameid, why is it necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to teach HaKorchonim V'Hananosim V'Hazav L'Gonim P'sulim? Rabbi Yochanan says that these three types of phenomena render a person unfit. Why does he have to teach them? Lefisha Einon Shaveh Bezaroshan. He teaches that they're unfit as a result of them being categorized as Einon Shaveh Bezaroshan. Lechora, superficially, Devarav Kvar Shnuya B'Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, Rabbi Yochanan's point, his point or points seem to be taught in Mishnayos already. Now the Gemara. Om Rav Yochanan, HaKorchonim V'Ananosim V'Azav L'Gonim P'sulin. These three situations As many of you listeners have already noted, we're not focusing so much on translations of individual words, but from time to time we do bother to translate. Most often in the Gemara we're dealing with categorizing things in the exact translation until you get to the issue of halacha lemaisa is not something that is me'akev, that is binding in understanding the Gemara. But in this case, we can translate the karchonim has to do with the baldness that we finished describing above. Nanosim has to do with dwarfness, and zavlagonim is a case of teary eye individuals. So Rabbi Yochanan says these three examples are examples of things that are they're psulin, lefi she'enon shove bezaro shel aron, and one who does service in the Beis Hamikdash as either a kereach hananos or a zavlagon, he will be in violation of the positive mitzvah, the mitzvah saseh. The Gemara asks two questions immediately. Karchonim tanina, nanosim tanina. We have Mishnayos already that tell us that a kereach and a nanos shall not serve. So the Gemara says, zavlagonin it's derichalei lashminan. We need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us about the zavlagonin. And Rashi adds, amazingly, you don't see this in the words at all, but we need Rabbi Yochanan to teach us about the other things as well. Umahu detemo mishumare sohayin. Without Rabbi Yochanan, I would have thought that karchonim, nosim, zavlagonim, these are problems of amaris ayin, and there's not going to be even the violation of a positive command. Therefore, I need Rabbi Yochanan to make sure we know where things fit in, category-wise. I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us that these three problems, even though we know they're problems from learning Mishnayos, but I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that these are in the category of Einan Shove Bezaro Shel Aron. The Gemara asks, do I really need Rabbi Yochanan for that? And we now see an example of that. What are you telling me? That I would have thought without Rabbi Yochanan that they are problems of Maris Ho'ayin? I wouldn't have thought that. If the Mishnah wants to tell us that something is a Maris Ayin problem, it would tell us that black on white. Noticing the following quote from the Mishnah, the next Mishnah. It says there, Vishnoshu Ruseinov Posul Mipnei Maris Ho'ayin. There it describes someone whose eyelashes fell out, so he is a problem of Maris Ayin. If the Mishnah teaches, let us say, Karchonim, and doesn't say Maris Ayin, so I know it's not Maris Ayin. What do I need Rabbi Yochanan to set things straight for? Answer, Mahu Detemo. Had I not had Rabbi Yochanan, I would have thought, Toni Chado, the Mishnah states black on white, Maris Ayin by one of these things, V'wadin l'kulu, and that Maris Ayin is to be understood with regard to all the others as well. The Gemara asks, V'ha kohecho di'iko mehader humisne. Wherever there is an additional case of Maris Ayin, the Mishnah spells it out. The Mishnah doesn't rely on saying it in one case and then my applying it to all the rest. In other words, I would never have thought this, that by stating it in one, I would have applied it to the rest, because we know that when there is another case of Maris Ayin, the Mishnah will spell it out. And we have an example of that too. This is a Mishnah from Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, V'shenitlu shinov, posul mishum Maris Ayin. A person who has no teeth is unfit because of Maris Ayin. Now, if the Mishnah doesn't state Maris Ayin again regarding other things, they're not Maris Ayin. They are Eino Shove Bezaro Shel Aron. So once again, what do I need Rabbi Yochanan for? Elo, I'll tell you what you need Rabbi Yochanan for. Lafuke meha desanyo. I need him to dispel that which is taught in a brisa. Desanyo hakarchanim vanosim vazavgonim ksherim v'lo amru posel elo mishum maris ho'ayin. So we have a brisa that makes a reference to these 3 points, and it says that their problem is a problem only of Maris Ha'ayin, but on a Torah level they would be fit. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, in all due respect, that's what the brisa says, but we do not follow that. And we are more stringent and say that Karchonim Nasim Zavulganim are a problem not of Maris Ha'ayin, but of Eino Shava Bezara Shel Aroin. The Gemara asks, Man Hai Tana, so who is this Tana? Rabbi Yehuda, this Tana is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Desan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha Kohanim. The word in the Torah of Ha Kohanim, the Rashi refers you to the Pasuk V'orchu B'nei Aaron Ha Kohanim in the first parak of Sefer Vayikra, La Rabois Ha Karchonim, that to include the Karchonim as being fit, as being kosher for avodah. In other words, from the Torah standpoint, the karchonim are kosher. So the that's who is the author. Rav Yehuda is the author of this brisa that said that their only problem is Maris Ha'ayin, which is a non-Torah issue. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, comes along with his teaching and says that karchonim, nanosim, zavugonim are a Torah-based problem. They are an Einon Shovet Bezara Shel Aron problem. The Mishnah. Ein lo givinen, ein lo elo govin echod, zehu gibein ha'omor batura. Givinim have to do with eyebrows. So it says in this Mishnah that if he has no givinen, or he has only one, this is the gibein that the Torah mentions as being a problem. Rabbi Doisa Oimer, Kol Shegvinov Shochvin. And anyone whose eyebrows are very long and they lie over his eyes. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Mi Shiesh Lo Shnei Gavin Ushte Shidrois. Someone who has a double back with 2 spines. The Gemara now asks, the Gibein, the Ein Loi Mashma. The Mishnah said, Ein Lo Gevinim, one who doesn't have any eyebrows, and it said, Zeu Gibein Omer Torah. So it sounds like the word Gibein implies someone that is lacking. Ah, Vera Aminu, we raise a contradiction from another source. Gibein, Sheyesh Loi Gevinin Harbe. Rashi explains that means that he has his 2 eyebrows come together. There is no break in skin between the 2 eyebrows. They just run right into the other. Ein lo gevinim, oi ein lo elo govin echod minayin. What about someone that has no eyebrows, or he has only 1 eyebrow? How do we know him to be a problem? Talmud Lomar, oi givain. From the word oi, we derive these characteristics. So that in our Mishnah, these points of ein lo givinim, or only one, was derived from givain itself. In the Brisa, no way. Givain indicates someone that has a great amount of eyebrow hair. If you want to include these other things, those that were mentioned in the Mishnah, you have to come on to darshaning the word oi, and that's why we've dashed underlined that word. The Gemara answers, there's no contradiction, there's no problem. Amar Rava, Zehu Midrash Oi Givain. The Mishnah, when it said Zehu Givain, it was stated in a rather terse fashion, but what he meant to say, this is the drusha of O Givain, that's in the Torah, the drusha of O Givain, the expansion of that, the expounding upon that expression leads us to include the person with Govin Echad or none whatsoever. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shnei Gavin, a person with 2 backs, double back, and a double spine. So the Gemara asks, Lameimro Dechayi. Does our Mishnah imply that someone born like that can actually live? And then we come along and say, okay, he's got this problem, but he can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You're talking about someone that's at least 13 years old if you want to tell us he's unfit to serve. Well, but don't we know something quite different. For Itmar, has it not been taught? Hamapelas Bria. Sheesh lo shnei gavin vishnei ushtei shidrois. The Gemara Nida talks about a woman who miscarries an embryo that emerges having a double back with a double spine. The Omar Rav, and commenting on this, Rav says, Beisha eino valad. With regard to a woman, it's not considered a birth at all with regard to Tumas Leda. In general, a woman who bears a child, she experiences a period of time following the birth of ritual impurity. Rav says if she bears a double-backed embryo, it's not called a vlad. It's not called an offspring with regard to Tumas Leda. Bevehemo, Osir Bachila. If such a thing emerged from a kosher variety animal, you couldn't eat it. It's considered dead, even though it might appear to be alive initially. But nevertheless, if you were to go ahead and slaughter it, it would not be allowed to be eaten. It's considered as if it's dead, and therefore the shechita that you do to such a thing wouldn't be of any benefit. So we see from these two halachas, one concerning a woman, one concerning a behemo, that they're not considered something that has any life to it. So how can you imply how can the Mishnah imply that a person that has the double back phenomenon, he might be, he's walking around, he's fine, he's alive and well, and he's an adult, he just is unfit for the kuna. Basically, someone like that isn't going to live at all. So the Gemara answers, Kvar Roma Nihalei, Rav Simi Bar Chiyola Rav. This question that the Gemara presents is an issue that Rav Simi raised to Rav, the Omale, and Rav responded, Simiat? Simiat is, he calls him by his name, but Rashi explains it's an expression, it's a compliment that he's saying. Chochom Golo Kamoscha, someone like you who is very smart. Elo Bishijedrosoi Akuma. The Mishnah that speaks about a double back, it doesn't mean literally a double back. It's simply a reference to a person who has a singular spine, but it's very bent. It's bent out of shape, giving this impression of having a double back. The Mishnah. Hachorum Posel. Ezehu Chorum. What is an example? What is meant by that? So the Mishnah says, "Hakoichel shtei einov keachas." What we refer to as the bridge of one's nose, which is a phenomenon or an appendage that separates between a person's eyes. In this case, the bridge, that part of the nose is so sunk in to his head that he could use an applicator. A kochel is a substance that a person applies to one's eyes. It has a certain medicinal value, and it's applied with an applicator. So he could actually run the applicator from one eye to the other without anything blocking it, giving you a very clear picture of what a chorum is. Shtei einov lamalo, ushtei einov lamato. These are things that will be described by the Gemara. Eino achas lamalo, the eino achas lamato. Roya es hacheder vesalio keechod. If he sees a ground floor and an upper floor at the same time. Sochei shemesh, someone who cannot bear looking at the sun even for an instant. Vahazagdon, vahatziron. These will be explained in the Gemara. V'shenoshru rishei einov, someone whose eyelashes have fallen out, posel mitnei maris ha'ayin. Rashi emphasizes, and we've done this with our markings using the semicolon before v'shenoshru, Rashi points out this is a reference, the maris ha'ayin is a reference only to the individual whose eyelashes have fallen out. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we are presented with a Tanaic source that goes to the very top of Mem Dalid Amid Aleph, Chorum Shechoitmoy Shakua, that his nose is set in between his eyes. Chotmo Soled, this is a person who has a very short nose. Chotmo Bolem, the nostrils are closed or seemingly closed. Chotmo Notef, Rashi describes this as a very long, hooked over nose, where he says, Oruch v'tolu milamata misfaso, it's so long and hooked over, it comes below his lip. Minayin, from where do we know these things as a problem? In other words, we know what a chorum is, that's chotmo shakua. What about the chotmo soled, chotmo bolem, chotmo notef, from where do I know them? Talmud lomar oi chorum. The pasuk uses the word oi, which enables me to include more problems than the basic chorum. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein chorum elo hakichel shtei einov ke'achas. Rabbi Yossi says, that which we saw in our Mishnah, that chorum means it's so set in that he could move an applicator from one eye to the next without having to pick it up. Omru lo hiflakto. The Rabbanan say you are describing something in too extreme a fashion. In other words, you could say that you're being very lenient. You're saying that the only time that chorum is a problem if it's so sunk in that he could use the applicator in one movement. So the Rabbanan say no. Chorum includes even more than that. Namely, afalpi she'eno kochel shtei einov kachas, as we see at the very top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that even if there is a slight block, that he wouldn't be able to move the applicator smoothly without any interruption, but still, it is a chorum, so long as it's set in significantly more than you would find by other people. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.